I turn on my computer. I go online.
Welcome.
And my breath catches in my chest until I hear three little words.
You got mail.
In 1998, when Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks starred in the hit romantic comedy You've Got Mail, the idea of meeting someone online was a novelty. But today, oh, how the tables have turned, Steve.
That's right, Lauren. The newest research shows meeting online has become the most popular way couples meet, eclipsing even meeting through friends.
So what used to be a semi-embarrassing admission of we met online is now the norm.
So today on the show, we're going to dive into what this monumental shift means, what's good about it, and what is not so good.
We begin by hearing from a few people who have been there. Caitlin Chapman is 22 years old. She grew up in a world where meeting someone online, or more accurately, on an app, was the norm.
The only online dating that I ever got into was just, like, on an app. And I've been using those for, like, 4 or 5 years. When I first started college is when I started using them. So you're, like, out of your hometown. You're like, oh, who's out here?
She met her current boyfriend on Tinder, and she sees a lot of benefits in this way of dating. Allie Mahoney, on the other hand, is 54 and has tried her hand at online dating since the beginning.
If we were to grade online dating, I'd probably be considered an online dating failure. But every time it kind of, the way it was being done shifted all the way back to where it was like AOL chat rooms, mm-hmm. to then like setting up match.com profiles to... Then, like, it got modified a little bit, like, with, like, the Plenty of Fish type of profiles. And then now I've done a little of the swipe right, swipe left stuff.
Allie is still single today and goes on and off online platforms, but she remembers when it wasn't so accepted.
Yeah, back in the day, it was definitely, like, you as a person felt like it would seem desperate or, you know, it just wasn't accepted. People were always worried about, well, you know, you're talking to a stranger and you're putting yourself in danger and this and that. But I think people eventually got smart with how they were handling it. But then I have several friends that met through online dating and dated successfully, married with kids. So I think as those type of situations started coming out of online dating, it became more acceptable. And as people heard about it more, it was less like a dirty secret.
Okay, so let's talk pros and cons here. Like, you hear a lot of, you know, online dating horror stories and really, you know, awkward ones. But have you also experienced some sort of freedom in this, or has it empowered you in any way, either of you?
I mean, I would say definitely, I agree with both. I think there's always, you're always running the risk of, like, you have no idea how this person really is, like their profile looks different than how they are in person and things like that. And I've definitely been on some like really, really awful dates. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's really freeing to be able to decide. You know, there's no face-to-face until you agree there's face-to-face. Like there's no, I want to say there's no added pressure to meeting someone new because it's like you either click and you decide to meet up and you're like, oh, this is great. It's going to be fantastic. Or you send a couple messages, you don't click for whatever reason, and you want to be done with them, and you're done with them.
Yeah, I think that it also, because it's so readily available, and you can just, you swipe, like, you could be passing up something really good, or, you know, it just makes it seem like there's just this abundance.
Yeah.
If it was that, if there was just an abundance of people in the world, you'd find your soulmate a lot sooner, you know? So you just, sometimes I think you can get a little, take advantage of the fact that there's an abundance and it's probably not really an abundance.
What do you think, Caitlin? Does it ever feel overwhelming?
When I was actively using them, absolutely, because it's crazy how you can just sit there and for like, even for an hour, you can like swipe, like it's like swipe no on everyone and they're just like, they keep refreshing and there's still more cards to go through, still more profiles to look at. So like, sometimes I feel like I would do it more as like a game to be like, mm-hmm. oh, which of these attractive guys is most interested in me?
So there is sort of a game aspect of this when you put it on an app like that.
I think because it's, yeah, because of the apps and because it's become so just in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, you used to have to create a profile and everybody liked to hike and do yoga and travel and work out. And, you know, really spent time and then you perused people's profiles in the same manner. But I feel like I met better quality people back then, too, because I think you took a little bit more time.
What about you, Caitlin? Like, coming from a generation that is, you know, almost entirely in relationships this way, do you think that there's something you're missing out on? Like, do you wish that you could meet the way your grandparents met, or like in some sort of meet cute romantic comedy way?
I feel like I'm too much the pessimist to ever agree with that. I love that Tinder, especially, you have to link your Facebook. So like, anyone that you match with, you know they at least have a Facebook. And I would do that with every person I would meet up with. Because when you've created a profile for dating, you're trying to showcase like the best parts of yourself, and you get to pick and choose what those are. But like, nobody thinks that much about what they post on Facebook. Like, when you find someone on social media, that's like the stuff they really care about and like the things that they want to share with the world. So I think that's always great.
So to you and to people your age, it sounds like you really think that what somebody posts online is authentic.
In my experience, most guys don't care about their social media as much as girls do. So like,
oh, absolutely.
If the guy's going to take the time to post it, he cares about it to some degree. But yeah, I think it's great that we can look them up, especially as a young then single woman in the city. Like, I think it's a form of protection even. It's not even just like, I need to know everything about you because I'm curious. It's like, are you going to hurt me if I meet up with you somewhere?
Right. Yeah. So this really is a huge shift in our society and how we meet people and how we form romantic relationships and then therefore families, et cetera. Do either of you think that this is fundamentally going to change things in terms of the way that we interact with one another?
Yes and no. I feel like it just kind of goes along with what being social has turned into now, with like how we all interact on social media. Like, I'm sure I interact with my friends on social media far more often than I ever get to see them in person.
So do you feel like there's any sort of loss of community or of being able to talk to somebody and meet somebody face to face?
I don't think there is. I think all of the things that make a community have translated well online, and I'm sure it was a little bumpy at first as everyone's like navigating like, oh, you need to be on these platforms if you want to talk about these things. But I think people have adapted to that. And I think that sense of community is online, too.
Ellen?
I think that what it might affect long term and maybe even in the short term is, are people getting married at a later age now? Because it feels a little, I don't want to say throwaway, but that's just what it comes to mind, more of like a throwaway, thinking that not investing in someone because it's easy to just pick up the phone and like look for the next someone.
So I'll end on a positive question then. So if we're talking about, you know, big shifts that this represents for our society, do you think there are some net positive ones too? Like, do you think that this really can open up doors that weren't open before?
I think generally it's a positive. I mean, giving yourself that little buffer at the beginning to like lay it all out and be like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Like, this is how much commitment I'm putting into this. What are you doing? So that nobody is disappointed, ideally.
So you said 9 months or so you've been dating someone you met on an app like this. Mm-hmm. Does this surprise anyone when you tell them this is how you met?
No.
That is online daters Caitlin Chapman and Ali Mahoney. So now let's turn to an expert. Alex Halavay is a social media researcher and associate professor of critical data studies at ASU and an occasional guest on the show. He says, as with all things in the social media realm, there's good here and there's bad. But we began our conversation with demographics. This new research is about heterosexual couples. But what about everybody else?
It has shifted for heterosexual couples. That's the largest marriage and dating market. There are, at the margins, folks who have engaged in various forms of dating outside of the mainstream dating, and that includes LGBT folks who had a smaller marriage market, and so it's not necessarily obvious when you meet someone whether they're gay or not, and being able to move online allowed to break down some of those initial questions.
So the sense is that we used to rely on our friends and family and our social networks in a not virtual way.
Right.
to introduce us to the person that we'd end up marrying or dating. And now this has been replaced by algorithms, by
right.
robots, for lack of a better phrase. So I will ask you right off the bat, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing?
Yes. The answer for that question is always yes.
Yes.
So, you know, there's probably a parallel here, right? Because we used to shop in mom and pop shops and they would decide for you what cereals were probably good. And then we moved to supermarkets and now we're on Amazon where you can get pretty much anything on the planet and decide the exact breakfast cereal that is matched to you. So I mean, I think if we consider it along those lines, the sort of dating market, if we want to call it that, has followed the traditional market. Hmm. So it's kind of moved over time. And I think you could say there were good things about a mom and pop shop that are not present in Amazon. And there are good things about Amazon as well. I mean, the real advantage is that we can kind of innovate and evolve and find people that we would never have found before. But it's true that we are going to lose something in that process.
What is it that you lose?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to quantify, right?
Yeah.
These are very quantified markets. They're using algorithms and quantified algorithms to figure out what matches. So it's really hard to say offhand what that ephemeral missing bit is. Some of it is spontaneity. Some of it is an assumption that we get along better with people who share sometimes superficial choices and styles. Some of it may be that people who would have done better in an offline environment are losing out to those who present themselves better in an online environment. This is maybe a Revenge of the Nerds scenario where those of us who can kind of present ourselves in public online better than offline do better. Those of us who are less likely to go out and party do better. But there is something that maybe ephemeral is missing there, some level of trust, maybe some embeddedness in social networks.
How successful are these algorithms then at pairing us up?
I think they do a pretty good job. And it's not so much where they are now. This is kind of the same thing with self-driving cars. It's that they seem to be able to improve.
Hmm.
So, you know, your mom is not going to improve in setting you up with blind dates. It's just not going to happen. Sorry, Mom. I don't trust my mom on movie recommendations. But movie recommending systems didn't work very well before, and now they work better than any human can. And so I think what we see is not necessarily where it is now, which I think is pretty good, but its infinite improvability, at least among those who design these systems, is what makes it enticing.
So what's good about it? Like, you mentioned this idea that, like, we can now meet people we would definitely not have met otherwise. I have a friend who just met someone online who doesn't live in the city, and now, you know, they're dating and visiting each other every month, and it's great. And that obviously wouldn't have happened otherwise. What other doors does this open?
I think that's the big one, right? That you open up a market of people that you wouldn't otherwise run into. So there are a couple of pieces of this. One is that if you have very particular interests or wants, you're not restricted to those within your very small community. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we found across the board. At the same time, it may mean that we narrow our choices, that we find people that have very similar views, both about the way the world works and about the kinds of things they like.
So I wonder then, this leads me to a broader question about community. And I think you and I have talked about this on the show before, is like if all of our groceries are delivered and we don't go to the grocery store and have to bump into anybody, what are the losses there? Like, are we losing any physical community spaces where these things could happen, where you might meet somebody?
Yeah, I mean, we're changing it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of this is that people still go out on dates. They still meet people in person. And so when this facilitates that, you could say that there's spaces here for creating new kinds of community. And in fact, some of my students have talked a lot about that. They really want a Tinder for going out and seeing a concert. You know, like, they want this to help them find a friend group, not just potentially partners.
Wow.
And so there is a thirst for that. And I think that it is missing. I think there's another problem here, which is we don't know how these algorithms work. And so we've handed a big piece of our social process over to corporations who then control who we can see. And we don't know how that works. And in some cases, even the corporations aren't quite sure how the algorithms are making those matches. And so handing such a big piece of our communities and our social lives over to a company that has a profit motive and very little oversight is frightening.
All right. That's Alex Halavay, a social media researcher and associate professor of critical data studies at ASU. Alex, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.